Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land.
Zorn, that's debatable.
Zorn, Zorn, we sing the
praise. Yeah, you leave my microphone off.
I did. I'm ready
to retort.
All right, Bill's off today.
It's in a song. It's got to be true.
Right, like if it's on the internet, it has to be true.
Exactly.
Dane Neal is in for Bill left today. Bill's back tomorrow. And Eric Zorn's in for himself. Hi, how are you?
I didn't send a substitute like some people I could name.
Hey.
All right, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I had a couple things. One is I do have the top tweets of the month of October.
I love these.
Every first Monday of every month when I come in here, I read the top 10 tweets from my Twitter feed for the past month. And should we start with that and then move on to other stuff?
Yeah, I love these.
Yeah, I really enjoy these too. And
I got to start using Twitter more.
And usually,
then you'll use one of my tweets.
I will absolutely. And usually, what we do is I just read the tweets, and then Jasmine posts a link to it on your Facebook page. It has the attributions because they're these unpronounceable Twitter handles.
I could never be a teacher to pronounce kids' names, and Twitter handles are worse.
Yeah,
you know, to try and read them.
Try to be clever or figure out some kind of.
You'd be like a teacher in Key and Peele.
I don't know.
Aaron? That,
oh.
That was a great search.
Yes.
Anyway, actually, this first tweet is by Jen Statsky, who writes for The Good Place. But anyway, and it's, is there rehab for gossiping? I don't need it, but I'll tell you who does.
That's pretty good.
My magic 8-ball contains a polyhedron that on all 20 sides says, you're a grown man, put this thing down.
It's still fun. Come on, if you come across one, don't you ask it a question? Because I do.
Signs point to yes, yeah. Fellas, if you don't know what you did wrong, do not under any circumstances start guessing.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a long one. Jesus loves you, but you said it first, and then he was way too casually like, love you back. So then you said it later that day to confirm, and he just gave you finger guns. So who knows?
Nice. This is a good month so far.
If you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, it probably died of sadness because it thought you loved it.
Oh.
Those silica packets that say do not eat are part of a conspiracy to keep us from consuming them and becoming impervious to moisture.
That is so crazy that they put that on there.
Not a toy. Like, really? Okay.
Well, yeah, the Tide Pods. You gotta be too careful.
I guess those are colorful, at least. I can see the excitement about that.
Yeah, like you're unpacking something and you go like, oh, look, they left a treat in here for me, a sugar packet. No, I don't know.
That is so weird.
What would happen to you if you ate that?
Let's try.
I will find out the answer to that. It's just poisonous, and I don't imagine anything would happen unless you had like 20 of them.
Okay.
I wouldn't even say that, Wendy, because this radio station is going to get sued because some kid.
Well, I'm going to find out the truth, and then I can rebut what I said.
Okay, let's do that. Wendy, responding to Wendy's point, we'll be answering in a minute. Getting older is pretty much just paying bills and finally understanding why killers and horror flicks target teenagers. The only reason I ate the whole chocolate bar was to hide evidence that I ate a bit of the chocolate bar.
Oh, that's
ever done
good.
That?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you get, because at first you just have like part of it, and then it's like, yeah, it's mostly still there. Then a little bit later you take that, and so then it's like you have to kind of, you got to develop a backstory there. And at some point, just the evidence that it existed at all is dangerous.
You say, I'm getting rid of this. Yeah. I'm done.
Do you know how Jimmy Mac keeps me from eating his private candy stash? He freezes his chocolate, and I think it's too waxy and don't like it frozen.
You don't like it frozen?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, conversely, I would like to microwave it. Like M&M's, if you take plain M&M's, and you microwave them, I believe it's 38 seconds for a regular sized bag. It's like a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie. The shell stays hard, but the inside is just so creamy and chocolatey.
Dane, you're into food stuff. That does sounds repulsive, doesn't it?
No.
Melted chocolate?
It's you know, like you a flourless chocolate cake with the candy coated.
Oh, my goodness. That just sounds...
I don't like flourless chocolate cake.
Well, you know what I mean? Like those molten cakes where it's cake
the lava cakes,
Yeah.
I don't know. We freeze our. We have some leftover Halloween candy. We freeze it, and then
Snickers. You can freeze a Milky Way.
All right,
but I mean, like I microwaved my Big Cat Kit Kat that I stashed away. I wasn't giving that away. I don't think I'm ritzy. But I microwaved it for like 10 seconds just to take the chill off of it. And it was kind of just really creamy chocolate.
What's the consistency of that? You know, mysterious space age element nougat. You know, where
I think that would blow up.
No. Where it's kind of like the kind of fluffy, kind of candy filler kind of thing. Would it get squishy?
If you freeze it or melt it? I don't know. It seems like it's like a, in a plasma state or something.
When you freeze it, it doesn't get completely hard. You know, a Snickers will get like a rock. You could use it as a weapon if that's what you're into. But the kind of the nougat, like in the Three Musketeers, still stays kind of soft. You can eat it right out of the, same with the inside of a Reese's. You know, you can still eat them.
Actually, I had a frozen Three Musketeers fun-size bar just last night, and it was frozen pretty solid.
Wow, so treating yourself, Eric.
I know. I'm worth it, though. So did you and Jimmy Mac discover this, like, too late into your marriage in order to
I think it sounds like a system that works.
No, it does work, because there was some leftover fun-size candy bars, and he put them in the freezer. First of all, knowing I wouldn't look in there for them, because I wouldn't want them frozen.
What do you think
of that? And I didn't even know they were in there. I just found some last night. I kept seeing fun-size wrappers, and I thought all our candy was gone. And then I looked in the freezer, and lo and behold, I wouldn't touch them.
Well, one of the things that's made our marriage last, we just celebrated 34 years on Saturday.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
great,
is that Johanna likes dark chocolate, and I don't really care for it.
I don't either.
And so she has it around the house, and it stays there. She doesn't come and look for it and go, who ate my dark chocolate? Because it would never be me. And we didn't even discover that until after we were married, so it was pretty lucky.
Well, we're getting some interesting ways, because there is a candy surplus out there right now because of the inclement weather for trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. Everyone has, we have a whole bag from my brother-in-law. He didn't get one trick-or-treater, and he's a big, he gives people entire bags of things, of the giant king-size stuff. And,
whoa. What's his address?
Yeah.
No, we got a whole bunch of stuff.
I got nothing left.
I just brought it all. I bought a whole bag into work today. I don't want it in the house. I'm afraid I'll eat it.
By the way, according to Slate.com, what happens if I eat silica gel? Nothing.
No.
It's a form of the naturally occurring mineral silicone dioxide, better known in its granular form as sand or in crystals as quartz.
Nothing would happen.
No.
So it is part of it. So saying do not eat it probably is part of an international conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yes. It's some people are selling it as a dietary supplement.
No, really?
Complete with new citrus taste.
Oh, get out.
That's what it says.
Wow.
So it won't, I still wouldn't eat it because it's probably not good. But
this is like public radio. We are learning stuff today.
That's a good day.
Hey, I got two more here.
Okay.
We got time for them?
Yep.
Imagine being a jolly good fellow and some jerk coming in trying to deny it. And the last one is very short. So you're saying if I fool you twice, I'm off the hook?
I think that's it. That's the standard.
I know. It's kind of
like you fool someone once, you feel bad about it, but just get in there, fool them again, and boom.
You're done. You're off the hook. Yeah. Yep. So Jasmine will post those to you, Bill and Wendy's Facebook page, and that's the best tweets for October. Stay tuned for the first Monday in December when we'll review
it. I can't wait.
I know.
I love, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. Eric Zorn is here, columnist from the Chicago Tribune, one of the co-hosts of the Mincing Rascals podcast. You can find that on WGN+. We'll take a quick break, and then I'm going to feel like a grandma, I have a feeling.
Yes, you are.
I'm very not hip. All right, it's WGN. We are at 7:20 a.m. WGN Radio. Eric Zorn is here, and he is the columnist, one of the columnists from the Chicago Tribune. I read your Sunday article, and now I can't remember what it was about.
Oh, who can? The first item was about how Jussie Smollett is yet again bad in the news, and Kim Fox got thrown another softball.
Last
week, the Axios people were in town, and they did an interview with her, and they asked her about it, and she was like, "Well, you know what we're trying to do. We're trying to explain to people what we're doing, and we didn't explain soon enough, and so we lost the chance to explain it." And I was like, "No, you have every chance still to explain what happened here."
There's
a special prosecutor going after this case now, and I think she's up for re-election in March primaries when the March primary election is when she's going to face, I think, at least two right now opponents in the Democratic primary. The winner of that traditionally wins the Cook County State's Attorney's office, and I think this Jussie Smollett case is just going to hang on her.
I just am so surprised we're even still talking about this at some point.
Well, we wouldn't have been if she had managed to extract an apology out of him.
That didn't seem like that was going to happen.
Or take him to trial and lose the case or whatever was going to happen. But it just looked like she let a celebrity go after this. And so anyway, so that was the first item. Another item that I wrote about was about this expression, okay, boomer.
I did not read, and I don't know anything about it.
This is an expression. The New York Times did a big piece on it, and I had not heard of it until the Times did. This was like last week, I guess. And they explained it to say, OK Boomer has become Generation Z's endlessly repeated retort to the problem of older people who just don't get it. It's their rallying cry for fed up kids. Teenagers use it to reply to cringy YouTube videos, Donald Trump tweets, and basically any person over 30 who says something condescending about young people. So they just say, OK Boomer. And this is their all-purpose tweet. And there's a line of hoodies and sweatshirts.
I never heard of it.
Water bottles and posters.
Have you, Dane?
No.
And obviously baby boomer.
Well, they're going after baby boomers. Yeah, obviously baby boomers. And it's one of those things. It is like, we talked about TikTok, right? And this article talks about TikTok videos, that they're making fun of boomers and TikTok videos. And this is something that I try to keep up. I mean, I'm really not a crusty old man, although I play one in print sometimes. But
yes, you do.
But you know, I have an Instagram account. I don't use it that much. I try to keep up with this stuff, but I had not heard of this, and I had heard of TikTok, but I don't use it.
Have Gen Z's, and I've never heard. I have two Generation Z's, I believe.
Well, they are kind of tired of our generation.
I've never heard this phrase though.
The okay boomer. Well, yeah. You're probably going to start hearing it. Although one of the things I saw on Twitter was a boomer said, okay, kids, using this expression, we're going to deploy our most ruthless weapon against this. We're going to start using it until it's completely uncool for you to say it anymore. And
you are so on fleek.
And that, yes, right, exactly. The expressions that become current, and then suddenly the kids realize that, I mean, that happened. It kind of happened to Facebook, right?
Yeah.
The whole Facebook phenomenon. Facebook was like, oh, the young folks are on Facebook, and then all of a sudden they realize that their parents and their grandparents are on Facebook. They're like, oh, I don't think so anymore. I know my kids aren't very active. Are your kids active on Facebook?
On Facebook, not as much. Insta is the big
Insta's
one.
Insta's the big thing.
It's kind of strange, right? Because you
let's take it over.
Well, you think something as big as Facebook and as accessible and as all inclusive that it's kind of like not broke, don't fix it. Well, if you need a social platform, there's one that does everything you need it to do. But you're right. There's like this certain, like, well, that's kind of not. It's not cool to hang out where your parents and your aunt is and all those kind of people. So you got to come. Because I would have thought that, you know, developing new platforms and different new social media things would be like, well, what's the point? They can all do stuff. There's new ones coming out all the time.
Well, the Snap was a Snap or Snapchat was. Well, I don't know if it's still that big anymore.
Yes.
Is it still how they. I know that you know, my kids will talk about Snap.
That's how they text. They don't have phone numbers of their friends. They text through Snapchat.
Yeah, and see, a bunch of them those who are listening now are saying, "Okay, boomer," and they're turning the dial.
I'm double flipping you off.
Well, I wanted to start a line of hoodies and T-shirts saying, "Okay, snowflake." Right, because isn't that kind of the defining characteristic of a lot of these generations?
No, I hate that term, and I don't even know if it's accurate.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
See, I think there's a lot of this talk about safe spaces and you know, places where you can't.
And shouldn't there be places where people feel safe?
There should be places where people feel safe, but there also needs to be places where ideas are seriously engaged and debated, and that you can't worry about
offending people.
I think a lot of the things that have gone on, you know, I've defended a lot of what's behind what's called political correctness. You know, it's just kind of common decency,
right?
Like, you know, you should just you know, refer to people the way they want to be referred to, and we've spoken about pronouns on this show before. Where, you know, it's like I'll do my best to use the pronouns that people want. I'm not going to, you know.
Can it only get so far? Do you think it's a pendulum that swings sort of like to the point where I'm going to use the air quotes, regular reasonable people say like, hey, that's a little too much, and then it kind of goes back this way. You know, as far as just how sensitive everyone feels obligated to be, or, you know, I'm generally a relatively, I think, pretty polite person, and I think that's the way everybody should be.
Yeah.
But do you think we're, because sometimes you do see things come across and you're like, wow, really?
Well, there was an incident at Harvard recently where the Harvard Crimson was writing about an anti-ICE rally, an immigration rally. And the, you know, the students were protesting ICE, and the Harvard Crimson reporting the story reached out to ICE officials for a comment. You know, like they were doing this thing that you do when you're a reporter, you try to get both sides of the story. And the student body was outraged that they had basically dignified ICE by giving them a chance to comment, by including their point of view in the story. And they were like getting petitions and wanting the editors fired and so on. So it was one of the things where I feel like, you know, at some point that kind of stuff goes too far. And that's where the snowflake image would
be. But is that really a snowflake? They're doing more than we ever did to push back about things they truly believe in.
Well,
I hate that term. But
they're so sensitive about somebody else having a chance to speak and having someone else having a chance to have their point of view heard, which in this case is ICE. Now, you can say, I mean, when I'm reporting out a story, when I do a column, I always reach out to people.
You're a columnist, though.
But
they're just kids.
Yeah, but they are protesting what the work of the journalists was. I mean, they don't have to go and ask ICE what they think. But when a newspaper, when the news media tries to balance a story, I think
when you completely discount that someone else has a point of view that even needs to be like heard from or considered, I think you run into trouble, right? Where you can just be so solid about your own situation that you're unable to even consider some of the, so, you know, yeah. I get it. And I think that it's part of, you know, some of the things that have happened where you have, and maybe it's just, you know, a few individuals within that group that's kind of, you know, sympathetic towards whatever viewpoint, ones that kind of get out there and say, you're not even allowed to talk at all, you know?
And I've certainly been accused in the last couple of years of not understanding and listening to Trump supporters well enough. And that may be true. I mean, because the ones that write to me usually just write swear words and stuff. It's really hard. There are occasionally, though, people will write to me and sort of try to explain, like, this is what you don't understand about the appeal of Donald Trump. And I think it's really important to do that also. So
it's important to have a conversation. Yeah. I just, you know, but I don't like labels. I'm sick of labels. If someone's more sensitive than you, then they're more sensitive than you.
We started off with you not wanting to call me the greatest father in all the land.
And I'm a snowflake, so what are we going to do?
So here we are.
All right, he's Eric Zorn. You can read him and find him online at Chicago Tribune and listen to Mincing Rascals. Eric, thank you very much. We are going to take a quick break. News is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.